There was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls strings. It makes his little puppets.
Welcome, welcome, Resurrected Republic. RTR Truth Media Reloaded. Resurrected Republic Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Tonight on the show, of course, we are going to be speaking about the Florida shooting. An alleged gunman, Nicholas Cruz, according to the New York Times, has confessed to police that he began shooting students in the hallways. Out of Parkland, Florida, this is what the New York Times says. And we're going to be doing an analysis and sharing some of mine, as well as Jake Morfonios from Blackstone Intelligence, and some of his work, which is I highly respect. The suspect, this is New York Times, the suspect in one of the deadliest school shootings in modern American history confessed to the police that he began shooting students that he saw in the hallways and on school grounds. According to a police arrest report released Thursday, the suspect, Nicholas Cruz, 19, carried a black duffel bag and backpack where he hid loaded magazines, the report said. He arrived at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland in an Uber at 2:19 p.m. on Wednesday and pulled out a semi-automatic AR-15 rifle, according to details described by the authorities at a news conference on Thursday. Mr. Cruz also shot people inside five classrooms on the first and second floors of the freshman building. He eventually discarded the rifle, a vest, and ammunition in a stairwell, blended in with fleeing students, and got away, the authorities said. After leaving the school, Mr. Cruz walked to a Walmart and bought a drink at a Subway. You know, because that's what everybody does after they commit a mass shooting. He also stopped at a McDonald's. I guess he was hungry. He was arrested by the police without incident as he walked down the residential street at 3:41 p.m. How about that? Just walking down the street, go to Walmart, go to McDonald's. New York Times goes on to say he looked like a typical high school student, and for a quick moment I thought, could this be the person who I need to stop? Said Officer Michael Leonard. Here are the takeaways, says the New York Times. Mr. Cruz faces 17 counts of premeditated murder, one for each of the people he is accused of killing on Wednesday in a shooting that was captured on cell phone video by terrified students. He is being held without bond at the main Broward County Jail, where he has been placed on suicide watch. Didn't seem too suicidal when he was visiting McDonald's or being taken into custody without incident. Rather interesting. But he is on suicide watch, according to Gordon Weeks, the county chief assistant public defender. The AR-15 rifle used in the attack was purchased legally, they say. I've heard otherwise, but I've heard that he lied to get it, so that's not legally. We have to verify that at this point. But he purchased it legally at Sunrise Tactical Supply in Florida. Oh, those poor people. According to a federal law enforcement official, the arrest report said Mr. Cruz purchased it in February 2017. No laws were violated in the procurement of the weapons, said Peter J. Fratelli, the special agent in charge for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives in Miami. I've heard otherwise, so we have to confirm that, like I said. The FBI said on Thursday it received information last year. Well, I'm glad that they said that because it's all over the internet. Of course, they had to say that they received information last year about a comment made on a YouTube channel, which is they got more information than that, which has been attributed to the gunman, but was unable to identify the person. And we know that to be false because he used his real name and his real email on Google. And therefore, anybody of you out there who has a Gmail account knows you have to supply your information to be able to get a Gmail account these days. Maybe 10, 15 years ago it was different, but this gentleman wasn't that old. He would have been probably in diapers before that was an issue. So it goes on to say, in Florida, an AR-15 is easier to buy than a handgun. Well, rifles and shotguns are always more easily purchased than handguns. That's kind of obvious, but we see the agenda already playing out. Read more on how the AR-15 became one of the weapons of choice. Okay, with this shooting, 3 of the 10 deadliest mass shootings in modern United States history have come into the last 5 months. Here is a graphic that records the grim toll of school shootings across the nation. We will be publishing and posting that with my comment on social media and in an article on rtrtruthmedia.blogspot.com. A huge crowd gathered at Pine Trails in Parkland for an emotional vigil to commemorate the victims, 14 of whom were students. The football team gathered separately nearby, forming a circle and locking hands before praying for a coach and an athletic director who was killed, and so on and so on and so on. Okay, now we're going to tell you how we knew about that FBI thing. I prepared a presentation that we put out in video, and we're going to roll that clip. Roll clip one, please.
It's obviously a sickness, and the individual that committed this heinous act needed help. What I'm actually here about is the FBI just left my house in regards to this situation. And let me give you a little bit of backstory. Back in September 2017, matter of fact, September 24th, 2017, I sent a screenshot of a comment on one of my videos. Now, people keep asking me, which video was it? I don't know. I don't remember what video it was. When I saw the comment come through on my studio app on my iPhone, I screenshot.
And here you see the screenshot of this conversation. Nicholas Cruz.
Out of the comment, I hit the report button, reported it to YouTube. Of course, they removed the comment. And then I tried to email it to the FBI. I found an email address, tips@fbi.gov, sent it to that email address. I immediately got back a domain error. Basically, that email address didn't exist.
And here, the system at work, but the FBI obviously knew about Nicholas Cruz.
So I looked up the number for our local field office, and I called and I left a message. Well, the next day, I had two FBI agents standing in my office, taking down the information, taking copies of the screenshot, and asking me questions that, of course, I couldn't answer. You know, all it was in my channel was a comment. You know, people leave pretty heinous comments on a pretty regular basis on this channel, and I really didn't think anything of it. But what I did think was, you know, this comment said, I'm going to be a professional school shooter. I'm going to be a professional school shooter. I'm going to be a professional school shooter. And I knew that I couldn't just ignore that.
I'd like to personally thank this man for his due diligence. But where was the FBI if they knew this guy was going hot? That's what I'd like to know.
So I screenshotted the comment, I sent it to the appropriate authorities, and I imagine from there they did a pretty thorough investigation, and tried to find out who this person was, but you guys know how the internet is and how screen names are. Now, the screen name, it wasn't a generic screen name. The screen name was Nicholas Cruz, which I'm sure, as you know by now, is the name of the guy that did the shooting in Florida today. So, now, today, the FBI contacts me, and first I talked to a guy from the Mississippi field office, and he's like, hey, where are you at right now? And I was at my house, and he said, I'm on my way. Well, immediately after that, while I was on the phone with him, I had a call coming through from an FBI agent in the Miami field office. And I called him back, and he's like, hey, you know, we're just following up on a report you made a couple months back.
A couple months back, they were informed and all over it.
We're just following up on a report you made a couple months back. And I was like, yeah, I just got off the phone with the guy over here, agent over here. He was like, oh, okay. I was like, he's on the way to my house. So I emailed the Miami agent everything that I had. Well, everything I had was just that screenshot. And when the agent from Mississippi came up, he just asked me as many questions as he could think of. You know, had I ever had interaction with a guy before? Was I familiar with the person? Was there any other comments on my channel? What video did he comment about? You know, it, how the comment was handled when it came in. And basically I told him step by step, you know, when I saw the comment, I screenshotted the comment and I forwarded it to the FBI. I reported it to YouTube. So basically they're going to have to get with YouTube about, where the comment originated, but I think they already know.
Yeah. I think that's safe to say that they probably already know.
That they contacted me very quickly after the incident occurred. I think it happened around like 3 o'clock my time, and they were at my house by 5 o'clock.
And this was months ago. And by the way, I want to go on record here for saying that you have to verify everything and all of your information with Google and YouTube. So this man's identity had to have been known.
And it took them an hour to get there. So, you know, that I would like to think that they were already investigating this guy and they had him on the top of their radar, and that's how they wound up contacting me so quickly. I wish I could have given them more information, but
I'm going to leave a link to this Bondsman's video and his channel with my audience. It'll be in the description in the article, and the videos we'll be putting out. So now let us listen to a teacher who, for the opposite reason by what I'm presenting here, feels as though that the government let her down by not protecting us, she says, on Anderson Cooper's CNN 360.
Well, aren't those trigger words interesting? Aren't those trigger words interesting? First FBI and we go blank, and then CIA and we go blank. Let me know when you have that up. Okay. I think we're running it. Okay, go ahead and run it from that point. Here's the teacher with Anderson Cooper. Listen to her thoughts on the state of this whole affair.
With my audience, it'll be in the description in the article, and the videos we'll be putting out. So now let us listen to a teacher who, for the opposite reason by what I'm presenting here, feels as though that the government let her down by not protecting us, she says, on Anderson Cooper's CNN 360, which is, you know, a push for more gun control. So wonderful, a journalism teacher in a high school with this situation that the FBI knew full well in advance that there was a problem with. And, by the way, I might add, the student who purchased this firearm legally, so not only was his name registered within the database having to go through the process, but also they were informed months ago about this individual. So, you know, you guys be the judge. Gun control isn't the issue here, is it? I think an armed populace and governing themselves accordingly and protecting yourself. I'd like to see why veterans aren't in these schools, and this problem would not even exist, even if you take away the false flag nature of a lot of these incidences that are driving an agenda.
At least for me, it's very emotional because I feel today like our government, our country has failed us and failed our kids and didn't keep us safe.
It's not the job of the government to keep you safe. It's the job of the government to preserve and protect your rights so that you can protect yourself. This is a Supreme Court decision that has declared law enforcement has no duty to protect you. Gun control will not protect you. It is the vision of utopians. These folks think that by banning something, people won't get it. That worked really great for Al Capone during Prohibition. It's not going to work with gun control. Personal responsibility, training, and making people look at guns in a whole different way. Isn't that what Eric Holder said?
I've also asked the school board to make a part of every day some kind of anti-violence, anti-gun message. Every day, every school, at every level. One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply have a catchy ad on a Monday and then only do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
Yeah, how's that worked out in Chicago there, Eric? Oh, moron.
Melissa, first of all, I'm so glad you are safe. How are you holding up right now?
I'm not really sure. It just doesn't seem like what happened today just doesn't seem real. I'm not really sure how to process it. Like, the emotions from today have been so extreme from just being, you know, totally terrified and trying to keep the students calm and then trying to make sure they reunite with their families and then trying to get myself home and then, like, finally making it home and then kind of sort of losing it. I'm not really sure,
yeah,
like, where you go from here and how you deal with it.
If you can, if it's not too painful, can you just explain what you saw and heard? I mean, you were teaching this afternoon. The fire alarm went off around 2:30, I understand.
Right. So it was fourth period, and that's my newspaper class, so I was, working with the kids who are making the school newspaper, and the fire alarm went off, and we had one this morning. But there have been times in the past where the fire alarm wasn't working properly, so we've had to, evacuate a couple of times. So we just, followed the protocol, which is we're supposed to, when the fire alarm goes off, we have to, evacuate.
And I'm sorry, you'd had a fire alarm drill this morning?
This morning. At 9 o'clock, the fire alarm went off this morning, and so we did our drill. And so it is sort of unusual for a second one to go off in the same day.
Right, and we now understand it was the shooter who actually, according to the latest reporting, it was the shooter who pulled the fire alarm.
Right. Right. So, I mean, that's what we suspected, as the situation sort of unfolded. So, we make it out, of my room and out of the hallway, and we're starting to go down the stairs, and the security guard who's posted in our area said, no, it's a code red. go back. And so, the teachers who were there called out to the kids, and we started going back to the classroom and, taking in kids and yelling to kids in the hallway to get inside. And then after about 90 seconds, we...
Code red, did that mean is an active shooter?
It's an active shooter, yeah.
And you had drilled
for that? We have drilled for this, yes. We had a training recently. We could not have been more prepared for this situation, which is what makes it so frustrating, because we have trained for this. We've trained the kids for what to do. And so the frustration is that we did everything that we were supposed to do. Barr County Schools has prepared us for this situation. And still, to have so many casualties, it's very, at least for me, it's very emotional, because I feel today like our government, our country has failed us and failed our kids and didn't keep us safe.
Now, just on a final note, besides the FBI already knowing about this guy and being warned by a conscientious individual who did everything the right way to alert the FBI, my position with this teacher, your job is to keep your kids safe, but obviously she's left-leaning. I wonder how safe your children really were, when I do believe that it would have been far more safe to have a teacher, like a desk, have a safe where a firearm can be kept, or some sort of instrument if they don't feel comfortable with the firearm, a beanbag gun, something non-lethal if they feel, like some sort of conscientious objector. But to have the tools by which to disarm and disable someone who's crazy, that would be keeping your children safe. Huddling them in fear and waiting for them to become sheep for the wolf to come is not protecting your children. Being a sheepdog is protecting your children. Radically thinking about guns in a different way would protect your children. Now, I feel bad for this teacher, for what she has gone through and the psychological trauma that this incident of being completely toothless in this environment can do to somebody. But all of the FBI warnings in the world didn't stop this. Prohibition is not going to stop this. Gun control only furthers this. Gun-free school zones only makes this situation worse, even if they are authentic. Tweet that. Like and subscribe. RTR Truth Media, Tom Lacovara Stewart. Resurrect the Republic.
We'll put that in the podcast for you guys to spread and share around. I think that's a valid argument. I have to, go back to this New York Times article. A little bit further down in the article, it says, the school community urged action from lawmakers, including tougher gun legislation. We need change. Students and parents in Parkland, an affluent suburb in Florida's most intensely Democratic county. Oh, by the way, did I mention that this guy was all over Instagram? He was so hard to find by his name, by his name. They didn't even need to go to Google or YouTube. They could have just perused social media, because isn't that what they did with all of us at the Pundy situation? They knew every one of us, everything that we ever said, every video we ever did. You get the point. Well, this guy ends up being an ISIS-supporting, Antifa, black-cladded communist. Very interesting, his political ideology that drove him, let alone the fact that he was disturbed. And probably I'm not going to be real surprised to find out if he was on psychotropic medication like every other – well, you know where I'm going with that. Anyway. So students and parents in Parkland, an affluent suburb in Florida's most intensely Democratic county, said a focus from policymakers on treating mental illness was not enough. Lori Alderheff, whose daughter Alyssa, 14, was killed, may God be with that family. If there's Yeah, there. I don't. When I call things false flags, I don't always mean that nobody was killed. But then again, you don't have the mainstream media going FBI knew in their headlines either. They kind of buried it halfway down the article, and it's only because that horse left the gate. There was no putting a bottle. There was no put a cap in that. That was out. So anyway, they go on saying, if we're constantly having our children worried about getting shot at, what are we telling our future? Well, you don't tell your future anything, and progressivism has gotten us right to where we are. But what are we telling our future, said David Hogg, 17, a senior, who said two of his 14-year-old sister's friends were killed, and that's what these people are killing our future. These propagandized kids, I my heart is absolutely goes out to them. Superintendent Runcie did not mince words. Now is the time for the country to have a real conversation. This is what they always say. On sensible gun controls in the country, he said. And like I said earlier, that really worked well for Al Capone, made him rich. That really worked great for heroin, made the black market rich. Really worked great for cocaine. You have the drug cartels that made them rich. And the war on drugs has been going on for a long time. What these people mean is door-to-door confiscation, because that is the only way that they're going to have this debate. It has to be done. It's the only way. But an interview on WIBC Radio Thursday, House Speaker Paul Ryan said the public policymakers shouldn't just knee-jerk before we have all the facts and the data. He added, we need to think less about taking sides and fighting each other politically and just pulling together. I somewhat disagree with that assessment, because we know what their agenda is. You know, United Nations Small Arms Disarmament Treaty, we have Mastering the Human Domain, and the military, the federal, local law enforcement fusion, all of that stuff going on. It's a standing army that is not does not coincide with the constitutional republic whatsoever. In address to the nation, President Trump announced he would visit Parkland and work in the nation's governors to help secure our schools and tackle the difficult issue of mental health. But he made no mention of guns. The FBI had information about a suspicious comment on YouTube. They had more than that. This is where they make light of this again. Ben Benight, a bail bondsman in Mississippi, said in an interview he reported a suspicious comment left on his YouTube channel last fall by a user named Nicholas Cruz. I'm going to be professional school shooter, September 24th comment said. And Benight took a screenshot of the comment, flagged it. You all know the story. We heard what he had to say about that. And there's not really anything more there. But the suspect's Instagram account showed guns and hinted at animal cruelty. Two Instagram accounts the classmate said belonged to Mr. Cruz were filled with images of weaponry, as well as the hats, bandanas he linked to wear to he liked to wear to school. Among more innocuous pictures of animals, including a dog and a gecko, was a picture of a slaughtered toad. In response to a comment on the image, Mr. Cruz wrote that toads tended to run away when they saw him because I killed a lot of them. Other posts on the first – isn't that like what they – no, never mind. You guys already know where I'm going with that. Other posts on the first account, like the one captioned Arsenal, showcased collections of firearms, including what appears to be a Savage Axis Bolt action rifle, Smith & Wesson M&P 15 series rifle, and at least two shotguns. So that's a very interesting development in and of itself. It was unclear whether the profile picture for that account, a face nearly entirely covered with a Make America Great Again hat and large bandana. Oh, you can't make this stuff up. I don't mean to laugh, but I mean, really? The Make America Great Again hat and large bandana was an image of Mr. Cruz. The profile picture for the second account also featured a face almost fully covered, this time with an army beanie. The account included several pictures of a figure wearing several different army hats and carrying guns and knives. It also contained a picture of Google search for the Arabic phrase, Allahu Akbar, God is great. Instagram did not immediately reply to a request for comment. Ah, folks, you know, there's also a tie-in to him making another one of these threats in another state that they trade his locale. You know, I'm going to have to lean with Jake Morfonius. He, I think, covers this really, really well. Let's run clip number two. Multiple shooters heard that we're not hearing about. Clip number two from Blackstone Intelligence.
This is Jake Morfonios with Blackstone Intelligence. I've got a bombshell report for you here. I'm going to be playing a clip in just a moment of a high school girl down in Parkland, Florida, who says that after the shooting was already taking place, she was standing with the alleged shooter, Nicholas Cruz, talking to him. She recognized him because they had gone to school together years before. She even said to him, "I would have thought this might have been you." While she's standing there, saying that he did not have a gun in his hands, she said she could hear gunfire happening in another part of the school. She claims that there were multiple shooters at the school. This information is coming to us from a reporter down in Florida named Matt Musil. He's from KHOU-11, and he had been reporting on a sporting event down there. He decided to go over to the school, and he interviewed Alexa, who's a senior at Douglas High School. She says that she never saw any guns and that she knew the alleged shooter. The behavior is strange. Perhaps she was in shock. There will doubtless be many of you who say she's a crisis actor. Whatever. Either way, whether you are a skeptic or not, this claim by this girl is wild.
I actually was in the bathroom at the moment, and I had came back to my classroom, and I knocked on the door, and the fire alarm went off, and principal came on the speaker and just said, "Everyone needs to evacuate right now." So that's what we did. As I was going down the stairs, I heard a couple shots fired. Everyone was freaking out, saying that it was a gun. And as we were walking, the whole class together, I actually was speaking to the suspect, Nicholas Cruz. And as I was speaking to him, he seemed very, I don't know what the word I want to say is, but he was trouble in middle school, so I kind of joked to him about it and said, "I'm surprised you weren't the one who did it." And he just gave me a huh. So that's really what happened.
You were walking down the hall. He had already fired at that time.
Yes, sir, with him.
Weren't you scared?
In the moment, I wasn't, because there was obviously definitely another shooter involved, but...
Oh, you think he was not the only one?
No, definitely not.
Why do you say that?
Because when shots were fired, I saw him after the fact. So, and the shots were coming from the other part of the building. So there definitely had to be two shooters involved, I believe.
That's the first I've heard of that. Did you see any other students who were wounded?
No, sir.
Well, that's just rather interesting. So he uses this AR-15, simultaneously manages to evaporate from one position and reappear in another position to shoot at two completely different places. And somehow, immediately following that, he appears like a phantasm next to this chick with no AR-15 in his hand. And, of course, wearing only a backpack, unless he... Well, you could... No, I just... It's not believable that he broke down the AR-15 and stuffed it in his bag barrel. I don't know. I'm just not buying that. I could have chucked it, but still, it doesn't account for the two shooters that we're not hearing about in mainstream media. I find that highly, highly dubious. And, you know, at first, when I first started checking this out, I said, "Yeah, well, maybe this is, you know, just somebody with psychotropics that just went and snapped." But it seems to me that just about every one of these events, there is some sort of involvement prior to the incident with some form of FBI or ATF involvement. It's just rather interesting to me how that seems to be the case. So we have a third clip prepared for you, and I want to share this with you. This is also from Blackstone. By the way, folks, Jake Morfonius from Blackstone Intelligence, those of you guys out there that aren't familiar with his YouTube channel, he's a professional investigator, and he is really good at what he does. So let's share clip number three.
We've got some more bombshell testimony coming out of Florida. A student at Douglas High School gave an interview saying that there were at least three shooters there at the school. And this comes on the heels of the other footage that I posted for you in a previous video. I'll go ahead and put it on at the end of this one as well, so you've got all of it together in one video. But the student in this video is giving an interview saying that there were three shooters. She says that at first the students weren't panicking because they were in the middle of being put through drills when the shooting started. And so they thought that the shooting was part of the drill. That's what people keep asking. Why are these students not freaked out? Most of them didn't even know that there was a real shooting going on. This is what is used over and over and over. At this point, now that we have multiple students confirming that there were multiple shooters, that there were drills going on, I'm in the false flag bandwagon at this point. I've jumped on board. This is way bad. This was very bad. And in a subsequent video I'm going to put up, I will go ahead and share with you my thoughts on how the FBI may have already been involved in this from the beginning, how this may have actually been part of an FBI operation.
To go outside so they could start shooting up. So they started shooting from the first floor up, because there's only two exits in the freshman building, so everybody started running to the other exits, but that's when the other shooter started coming up. So everybody, and then I thank God to this teacher who opened up her door and let all of us in. She got shot in the arm trying to open the door, and then the other teacher, he got shot in the head trying to cut the other students, and it was like an hour, like it felt like years waiting for them. And then after all that, we finally got out, and like they started yelling at us to keep focused and pay attention ahead, the army people, because they didn't want us to see the bodies that they hid in the corner. They were putting mats over them so we wouldn't see them. But there was dust all over the floor from this weird thing they threw in there. They're trying.
So you think there was more than? Do you think there was more than one?
There's three shootings right here. Definitely.
How terrifying! Hold on 1 second, ma'am. How terrifying!
It was pretty damn terrifying because they were putting us through drills, and we all thought this
I'll
was
call
a
you
drill.
Right back.
We thought this was a drill, but it wasn't. And then we just started hearing the gunshots, and it was really terrifying because my class, the class that I ran into, he started shooting through the door, and he came through, and he started shooting the cabinets, and that's when he shot the teacher. And then he ran back outside to shoot the other teacher who was closing the other door for the kids, but he didn't get to close the door, and he was just there. And so we were all just sushing each other, like, shut up, just suck it up, and we're crying, because we're not trying to get shot, because he was in the hallway yelling, hey, trying to taunt us and get us to say things, trying to get us outside. And that's when some other kid, like, he ran out, because he thought it was free, but he got shot, and then we heard the groaning outside, and we couldn't do anything.
So the shooter, tell me, besides, hey, what was he saying during
He wasn't doing anything. He was legit, he just ran up the stairs, started shooting, and you could see a bunch of kids just going down that way, but stopping, but because the other shooter was coming. So everybody was
screaming and stuff?
Everybody was trampling each other, because they were like, hey, do you hear that loud banging sound? And we all thought it was like some kid joking on the stairwell because they're hollow, so you could just hit a stick and it sounds like it. But then we all were like, oh, this is real. So we all just started running. It was really bad.
Now, one student told me that the shooter was wearing a bulletproof vest and a helmet. Did you see that?
I saw some other kid. The other kid who came into the classroom, he was wearing some type of thing, and, like, I don't know. But it was, like, I froze at that moment, because you never know, because when the gun is, like, pointed towards you and the thing, you don't know what to do. And you kind of just, like, pause, and you're just like, is this actually going to happen? But I felt like he was going after all the teachers, because a bunch of teachers got shot, and any of the kids who were in the way, they got shot.
What happened was the fire drill ran, so we all thought it was fire. We already had a drill today, so we're like, it's another drill. so we don't take it seriously. But then we hear pop, and from the other side of the school, we just see the whole school running out.
We heard multiple, what you believe are multiple gunfire shots.
Yeah.
And you said there was a drill today of some sort, and because of that,
today was a normal fire drill like that. Normally, we need one every month, and we were just assuming it was that one. But then a second drill went off in my class, and we just all assumed that it was a normal drill. But as we're walking out, we start hearing, like, pop shots, and no one seemed to be worried at that point, because people thought that it was just another, like, intense drill.
They told us about a drill before where they were going to be shooting blank.
So we heard the shots, like, hey, it's just that drill.
I actually was in the bathroom at the moment, and I had came back to my classroom, and I knocked on the door, and the fire alarm went off, and principal came on the speaker and just said, everyone needs to evacuate right now. So that's what we did. As I was going down the stairs, I heard a couple shots fired. Everyone was freaking out, saying that it was a gun, and as we were walking, the whole class together, I actually was speaking to the suspect, Nicholas Cruz. And as I was speaking to him, he seemed very, I don't know what the word I want to say is, but he was trouble in middle school. So I kind of joked to him about it and said, I'm surprised you weren't the one who did it. And he just gave me a huh. So that's really, really what happened.
You were walking down the hall. He had already fired at that time.
Yes, sir, with him.
Weren't you scared?
In the moment, I wasn't, because there was obviously definitely another shooter involved, but...
Oh, you think he was not the only one?
No, definitely not.
Why do you say that?
Because when shots were fired, I saw him after the fact. So, and the shots were coming from the other part of the building. So there definitely had to be two shooters involved, I believe.
That's the first I've heard of that. Did you see any other students who were wounded?
No, sir.
Very interesting. Very, very interesting. Well, folks, I don't know. What do you think? You be the judge. I can't make that determination except to say something I believe Patrick Henry said a long time ago. I smell a rot. Something's not right. Now, they did have to start placing in these mainstream media articles about this situation with the FBI's foreknowledge. But there's a pattern here. And, you know, in law enforcement, you know, like I said, my stepfather was a criminal investigator. I watched him often do his work, and I always listened. And patterns are something that, you know, eventually you have to start looking that, you know, when you start seeing a number of patterns repeating themselves, where there's smoke, usually there's fire. So I don't know. I find it very interesting. So anyway, we're going to roll this this final clip for you from Blackstone. Like I said, for all of you that are not familiar with Blackstone Intel, you need to go to Jake's site. That'll also be in the podcast description, and we'll be putting that out on social media as well. So, okay, roll number four.
Nicholas Cruz, he was reported to the FBI back in September. He was checked out by the FBI. He has very likely been under surveillance by the feds. The information I'm getting is that Cruz made a threat to shoot up a school in Pittsburgh in a video game chat room. Here's a news report from January 29th confirming that the schools did in fact go on lockdown.
Pittsburgh police officers were outside Taylor Alderdice High School Monday morning as students headed to school. Taylor Alderdice and most of the Pittsburgh public schools are on a modified lockdown after Pittsburgh police notified school police of a threat received Sunday evening. Speaking on an online video game, a man says he is in Pittsburgh and claims he's going to shoot up a school on Monday. No specific school is named.
And what I'm hearing is that the threat was traced back to Broward County, Florida, not to someone in Pennsylvania. Broward County, of course, is where this guy was. I can't be sure yet if that threat came directly from Nicholas Cruz or not. What I can say for sure is that most everyone who knew Cruz is unified in saying that they knew this was one scary guy. They all said that this guy was a threat and everyone knew it. The FBI would have known this. Now, I've been studying FBI activities for over 20 years now. I believe that it is extremely likely that Nicholas Cruz was already under their surveillance and that they knowingly allowed this tragedy to take place because they didn't intervene. And knowing what I do of the FBI, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they had actually met Cruz and helped to manipulate him into taking some kind of provocative action, either directly or through an informant. Now, if that sounds ridiculous to you, consider the fact that before the Boston Marathon bombing, the Tsarnaev brothers had been visited multiple times by the FBI. This is a matter of court record. They had the brothers under surveillance. Their mother insists that the FBI set them up.
This is an ABC News special report. Verdict in the Boston Marathon bombing trial. Now reporting, George Stephanopoulos.
And we are coming on the air because the jury deciding the fate of Boston Marathon bomber Zohar Tsarnaev has reached a verdict. They have sentenced him to death.
Now consider also the fact that alleged Orlando nightclub shooter Omar Mateen was also on the FBI's radar well in advance of the Orlando event. From the Washington Post, we read, quote, "The FBI investigated the Orlando shooter for 10 months beginning in 2013, putting him under surveillance, recording his calls, and using confidential informants to gauge whether he had been radicalized after the suspect talked at work about his connections with Al-Qaeda and dying as a martyr." The FBI says there was nothing they could have done to stop him. That's their defense. I don't believe them. That's the same story the FBI told us about their screw-up in the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. A terrorist who was working as an FBI informant gave bomb-making materials to a radical group that the FBI was watching. The FBI didn't just stand by and do nothing. They actually played an active role in making this first World Trade Center bombing possible. At least 11 people died. Here it is from the New York Times, quote, "Mr. Salem tells the FBI he himself was recruited into the bombing conspiracy. I can tell you that a radical Pakistani cleric named Sheikh Mubarak Ali Jilani is connected to some of the players in that 1993 World Trade Center bombing. Jilani is known to the FBI. He has radicalized Muslim followers who are living in MOA terrorist training camps right here in the United States. They have camps up in New York. They also have them in Georgia. Last year, I conducted an investigation into the Georgia camps and even filmed some of them and shared that with you from that investigation. And during that, I actually went to the FBI field office in Atlanta. The FBI is fully aware that these camps are in operation. They know these people are radicals. But despite the concerns of the public, the FBI is not doing anything to shut them down. This is what the FBI does. They groom mass murderers. They identify them, they send in informants to radicalize them, try and get them to do something. That's exactly what the FBI tried to do during the 2016 Malheur Refuge occupation with Ammon Bundy and his associates. The Fed sent in multiple informants, including a Swiss military specialist, to try and radicalize these men, give them crazy training. Of course, Ammon and his people, they're not terrorists, they're not radicals. So when the FBI couldn't manipulate them into doing anything wrong, they set these guys up. They murdered Lavoie Finicum in cold blood, all while saying, these are the bad guys. No, FBI, you're the bad guy. The Florida shooter, Nicholas Cruz, was reported back in September by a bail bondsman named Ben Benight. In a YouTube video, he says that he spoke with the FBI. This guy Cruz had left a comment on his channel saying that he was going to become a professional school shooter. So the FBI took the report from Ben. They certainly would have looked into it, and they would have found out quite easily this was one dangerous kid. And if the FBI followed their standard procedure, they probably would have approached this kid either directly or through an informant to try and push this kid over the edge. I would bet my last dollar that the FBI knew that this young man was ready to go over the edge, and clearly they let him do it. Why? Why does the FBI do any of this? Why did they massacre a building full of Christians who were causing nobody harm in Waco, Texas? Why did they burn them alive? Why did they and the ATF set up Randy Weaver and then go murder his wife and son at Ruby Ridge? And let's not forget the heavy-handed cover-up that the FBI is engaged in Las Vegas. We've seen enough information already to strongly suggest that the feds were somehow involved in an operation in Vegas that went bad. We all know this. And despite all the corruption at the highest levels of the FBI, what really ticks me off is that even though the FBI they tried to overthrow the 2016 presidential election, carry out a soft coup against the president, rather than try and dismantle or scale down the organization, Trump is proposing to spend billions of dollars on a new headquarters for the FBI so they can expand. Given the number of homeless living on the streets in Vegas and all across America, all our other troubles, I think we can find a better way to spend a billion tax dollars than to give a corrupt federal bureaucracy like the FBI a fancy new building. That's just me, though. For Blackstone Intelligence, I'm Jake Morfonios.
Well, folks, there you have it. I concur with Jake. And if you go and peruse the internet, you will find that there are articles that share this information about Ben the Bondsman and his letting the FBI know about this guy. And I just want to, you know, just kind of give you an idea, too, of another incident that occurred in Nevada with Bryce Cuellar, who is also known on YouTube as Fisher of Men. He had a pretty dark moment in his life, and he said, you know, he wanted to bring it back to the days of the Founding Fathers and take on the federal government and do all these things. Well, they not only had agents trying to set him up in a militia sting, which he didn't bite on, but because of social media posts, they put him in prison. So they have no problem taking people who are pro-Constitution and have a single dark moment in their life, but they oppose this corruption at the highest levels. They have no problem using their long arm to throw them into prison. And, you know, my heart goes out to Bryce Cuellar. I did not agree with the video that he posted. I think that it was something that, you know, it's sadly enough in this today's day and age of mass media, you know, we are recording and uploading everything to everybody. And I think that sometimes you should have your dark moments in private because, you know, this is a relatively new phenomena where people record these things and put them out for everyone to see, thinking, okay, well, as long as I'm not directly threatening somebody or doing something illegal, I'll be okay. Well, not with these Marxist hate laws and hate speech. And, you know, unless I say directly threaten somebody that I'm coming to kill them, I don't see, and, you know, using someone's speech to throw them into prison rather than get them some help and find out what's going on in their life that's going wrong. But this individual, not only did they know about him, but his social media presence depicted a pattern of violence and killing animals. Bryce didn't come close to any of that, none of that. And there he sits in a federal prison for not committing a crime, essentially committing a thought crime. So I think that that's rather interesting. And of course, out of the New York Times, the only headline that I could find in running more than one shooter is it says multiple fatalities in Florida high school shooting. That's the headline that comes up on the top of the article. But when I clicked on it, it says there's no indication of more than one shooter. Well, yes, there is. And there's not just an indication, there are indications of more than one shooter. Folks, this has been an RTR Truth Media special report. I will put all the links in all the places that you can go to. And like I said, we're going to, when I get back to home, we'll be using the Resurrect Republic Chatango chat room to share these links in real time with you folks. If you have any tips or you have any screenshots or you have any information that you want to share with me, you can do so by going to rtrtruthmedia@gmail.com. That's rtrtruthmedia@gmail.com. And if you want to support this broadcast, I would appreciate it if you went to PayPal, and you could go to paypal.me/rtrtruthmedia. And if you don't feel comfortable doing electronically, please feel free to you can send any contribution in, as long as you put a note as to who it's to go to the Republic Broadcasting Network in Austin, Texas, on Doubletree Drive. You can use that address that's on republicbroadcasting.org, and I'd appreciate that. So this is Tom Lacovara Stewart for myself, Lori Anderson, and Eric Hughes and Chris Cave and all of the rest of us here at RTR Truth Media Reloaded. God bless all of you and have a wonderful, wonderful night. Pray for those who are affected by this, either PSYOP or malfeasance.
There was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth, they pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor.